Good evening, everyone, and we're back. We're back, guys. We took a bit of a break due to illness. We'll have a community stream at some point.
I was actually thinking we could maybe do that not Monday coming, but Tuesday coming on the 17th, because then it means we could do like a stream for my birthday. Well, that might be a laugh.
Okay, we could do that. We could do a stream. We could.
Also, hello. Yeah. We have been away for a while.
Yes, we have. We've been away for a couple of weeks over the festive period. We've tried to be communicative. I've tried to wish everyone a happy new year and a merry Christmas.
I think we've found a nice golden mean of being online and communicating with people whilst not also ruining your holidays by absorbing hellish content on the internet.
Yeah,
day in, day out.
Like I said, I've just been like ill. This is the first day I've been actually back to normal in like over a week. Been on my ass with what could reasonably be described as the flu. I don't know if I'd be that extreme with it, but I have been a bit.
Maybe so. Man flu.
Oh no, I was very ill. I was. How dare you? I was on my deathbed.
See, but I don't catch it. Take that, scientists.
Take that, scientists. Yes, hello to regular people. Hello to James Merry, one of our members, one of our very long-time members. That's a good segue into some of the normal YouTube-y stuff.
Yes.
Through some miracle of science, we are still monetized. So if you guys want to send us anything, the best way is the Streamlabs link. I'll put that in the chat in a sec, because I don't actually have it here to hand.
In the description.
Yes, it is in the description, but I like to put it in the chat as well.
Oh, no, that's normally where I copy and paste it from when I'm doing it, though. But yes. Thank you to the people who are members and those people who give us the super chats and the super stickers, whatever those things are.
Yeah.
But yes, please give to Streamlabs primarily because they don't cut as much of it as YouTube does. And that, you know, if you want to engage in patronage, giving it through a system that doesn't cost 40% of your donation is a preferable way to do it, I think.
It is. A lot of people do still kind of stay as members, which is the bulk of our regular support. Mm-hmm. It all helps. It does give us beer money and it does make the time input into these a bit less painful. But we've got kind of a slightly more focused one, I think, although it does kind of go all over the place.
Yeah, it is. In a weird way, as you described earlier on, we're talking about, it's actually a worked example of so many of the things we talk about. And it's every single one of these avenues, be it eco stuff, be it the consequence of easy credit policy, poor, you know, planned economic outcomes, and also just like a culture that's predicated on consuming shit. Just constantly, we have the phenomena of the new build, because of course, if you're going to live in New Britain, you've got to live in a new build.
It's
new man.
the new man. As other people have pointed out, it is new builds for New Britain.
Yeah. Do you love fake tan? Do you like terrible shiny quilted jackets? Do you drive a Range Rover Evoque? Do you look forward to a 35-year mortgage?
A 50-year mortgage. We'll be getting to those in a sec.
I mean, do you have great taste for interior design?
Oh God, which one's that? There we go. There's the Dino interior design image.
Maybe you've got a thing from Shelby Thompson from Peaky Blinders.
Oh God, this one as well. We've managed to find like the four horsemen of the new build.
Or maybe you're a right lad and the bird's been well nice to you this year, so you've been real cheeky and bought her a proper present for Christmas.
The Fiat 5, people talk about the Range Rovers, but no one talks about the hairdresser Fiat 500s.
But like, I want to stress to the people in chat that this image you're seeing in front of you right now is real. The dance trophies in the window, the solar panels on both buildings, the terrible cheap birthday present style bow over the second-hand Fiat 500 in a white colour.
It's so
this
perfect.
Is a real picture I took in the real world. People actually exist like
the
this.
Trophies. The dance trophies! Oh,
I bet you they've got one of those like 9-year-old daughters that Satsuma orange every single day of the year.
The solar panels, the terrible layout, the fake sandstone. It's just, it's all too perfect. But yes, these are the four horsemen of the Barrett home. The exterior, the interior, the couple, the decor, it's all there. We'll be coming back to these at some point.
Yeah, my big fat Barrett wedding.
Because it'll all fall back in, but we're starting really where we left off last time, which is with the Scottish government and the UK-wide plan, really, to ban boilers and create a massive cost sink. It mentions £50,000, so that is it's an underestimate, because we'll be talking about some of the interlocking systems that go into a lot of this new eco-housing, which I think a lot of people will be expecting is just to go over some of the new build hate stuff, and we will be talking about the absolute state of current new builds.
But this is the thing, because it's when I put the message on Telegram letting people know about the stream, it's like, yes, we're going to delve into how bad the new builds are, but we're also going to show you the fact that they're only just going to get worse.
It's going to get so much worse. To talk about, again, we did the skyscraper curse stuff with Clossington. I talked a little bit about how I work in building services and how I'm very familiar with how a building shell is mechanically fitted out with all these different systems.
Yeah.
And as we move into this, we'll see that the average house that the average Dino will be buying is being fitted with all of these life support systems that are usually seen in skyscrapers, large-scale developments, and they require a lot of space, a lot of time, and crucially of all, they require a lot of maintenance.
Yeah, just like big brain contents comment there, 10 out of 10 domicile in Bongland. But yeah, the SNP has decided for a whole host of reasons that it would behoove us to no longer have gas plumbing and gas boilers in your house. And by extension, not having a gas boiler means it's very unlikely you would fit a house to fit a gas fire and not a gas boiler.
Yeah.
So not having a gas boiler means no gas fire, which means in a long-winded way, you have to heat your house only using electricity.
Yes. And they talk about now, Scott's could be, it's not only new builds. The new build stuff is happening in as early as 2024, but from 2025, you will be banned from buying a new gas boiler in an existing property. And we're going to get into that.
We should buy a few secondhand gas boilers, I think.
It'd be a good scam.
Yeah, I've just realised that. The people that have been buying them for pennies, scrap metal sort of price for the last few years are going to have quite a nice investment on their hands.
Oh, the retrofitting of existing housing, as we get into this, it's even worse. It's bad making new builds in the way we're going to talk about, but retrofitting existing housing stock to meet these standards is going to be awful. And I'll take people through a little bit why that's going to be awful once we reach that point. But we talked about this at the end of our demobilization stream, because it's another part of this new Britain, new housing, new build, new eco push, in that you cannot survive in Britain anymore by having, say, you can't just have a gas boiler. You are not allowed. Central government has banned you from having a gas boiler. That is what is coming. So we'll have all of these interlocking systems try and replace fire, basically.
Mm.
We're not allowed to invoke fire within our own homes to heat ourselves, is the long and short of it. And you can't just buy, say, a wood burner, because that's now illegal, because they're putting in all the Clean Air Act stuff again.
See, it's... in a certain sense, I consider this to... sort of on a spiritual level to be possibly one of the most insidious things ever. Now, fair enough, us having a gas fire in our homes is nowhere near the same as, you know, the original domestic cult of the fire, whereby it was setting the fire in the hearth that made it a home.
Yes.
Say goodbye to your fire. So your home's not a home really anymore. It's just a sort of tin box that keeps some heat in it. But it just, you know, that very notion that, well, no, actually, you won't have a fire in your home. You'll just use, like, electric pixies to heat everything up.
Well, the whole fake fire scourge has been a thing since the scheme housing.
Mm.
We've talked about that before, that in the 60s and the 70s, a lot of these horrible concrete skyscrapers, these filing cabinets in the sky, And we'll kind of get onto some of that Walkways in the Sky content near the end, because it's quite relevant to the philosophy of how all of this interlocks with the 50-minute city and the essentially the outmoding of all of these housing estates. They're going to become extremely miserable places to live. But a lot of people could not heat their houses effectively in these tower blocks. They were forced to use these extremely expensive electronic heaters because gas in high rise is seen as dangerous. And we're very much seeing history repeat itself with the social housing boom and the socializing of housing and really the regulatory net, which means that you can only build houses in a certain way as set out by the UK government for climate change reasons. And as bad as new builds are now, once the gas boiler's gone, once the ventilation stuff has gone, once the point of a British house is passive, you know, once it's no longer passive ventilation drawn in by heating, you get all kinds of horrendous problems. But the primary mover and the primary thing that people are worried about right now is the heat pump.
Can we go back to the EDF one there? I just want to read that little section there. And bear in mind, this is from EDF, a company who probably serves to make billions, if not be granted billions, to handle the work of refitting and fitting new homes. So that section there, why do we need a gas boiler ban?
Yeah.
Back in 1970, the year Glastonbury Festival was born and the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty came into effect, just a third of our homes had central heating. But by 1990, this had skyrocketed to 80%. For the last few decades, we've become used to cheap and convenient heat. According to the Committee on Climate Change, heating is responsible for almost a third of the UK's greenhouse gas emissions. Today, 95% of UK homes are centrally heated, and the vast majority rely on gas or oil-fired boilers. How many people are running oil-fired boilers anymore?
Rural places, you'll see a few.
We've got to screw those people over especially.
Yeah.
As gas and oil are fossil fuels, they both release carbon dioxide, greenhouse gas that contributes to climate change. In fact, most CO2 emissions come from burning fossil fuels, with heating contribution about 30% of UK.
You've already been over that one. Yeah.
But it's... I just did the first statement there about, you know, Glastonbury Festival, Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. It's like, why is a company whose role and remit is to pragmatically organise the distribution of energy across Britain's national grid engaging in activist rhetoric?
Well, it's, oh, Sweden, ooh, district heating. That's something we might get into at a later date. That's a whole kettle of fish. But one of the alternatives, apparently, to centrally heating your home is to let the government do it for you. And you basically, your thermostat is controlled by the local council.
Well, you don't trust the government to heat your house when you want it. Are you a conspiracy theorist?
It's the whole thing with this as well is that there's a lot of comparison with Europe and France and the Netherlands. They go into the... I'm not going to go into it here, but there's a lot of finger wagging at Britain for not having these airtight homes, as we'll get into, but it doesn't really work in Britain because of dampness. There's going to be a lot to do with moisture in this. I hope it's not too boring and too kind of building servicey here, coming from my background. But there is a huge cascading series of problems we will see when it comes to trying to eco-fy the British home.
Yes.
And like I said, the primary one of these is the heat pump. We're going to go over some tabloid stories here, which are just examples of stuff that I see talked about.
He looks like a right nonce, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He's somebody who bought into the heat pump. Oh, why does that keep... Fuck it. I've closed that about 7 times. Man horrified as he faces £7,000 energy bill after switching to £27,000 heat pump. This again is the headline tabloid version of what I keep seeing on Twitter when I type in.
Yeah. So what's green ain't cheap, and what's cheap ain't green.
Well, it's the whole thing in that in a laboratory, a heat pump is more efficient than a gas boiler.
Mm.
In the real world, it seldom is, and you have to have all of these interlocking systems to make it more efficient.
Mm.
Unless you have in what they refer to as an airtight home, as we'll get to later. A heat pump is completely useless. Completely useless for a passively ventilated home. But yeah, man claims he's facing £7,000 energy bill after switching to £27,000 government-backed green heating system. Officials are currently giving a grant of up to £5,000 to homeowners to replace their gas central heating and hot water system with a heat pump. For those who don't know, a heat pump is just a reverse refrigerator. We've talked about what heat pumps are in the last stream.
Yeah, run hot water through a thing that's part of an electrical sort of conduit and then run air past the hot water. It's a radiator.
No. Really.
So as a radiator,
it's a compressor.
The water is heated in a different fashion.
Yeah, well, it is, but it only generally gets heated up to about 40 to 60 degrees.
Yes.
Which means you can't have rapid heating. It also is, as I've explained multiple times to other people, anyone who understands thermodynamics knows that the bigger the temperature difference, the more energy you can tap into.
Yes.
And heat pumps have a smaller energy difference. Therefore, there's less energy to tap
into. I just like the fact that the mirror is nice enough to give us the little warning at the bottom of the page here. But experts issue warning over boiler mistake that could cost you £2,500 this winter. So get rid of your boiler and get a heat pump instead.
Well, this is... Stevie started using the system in July and lives in Lincolnshire. The equipment costs £17,000 and the installation was £10,000.
Okay, scroll up for a second. What kind of garden is that?
Yeah,
it's just like the shell of a new build house that isn't finished yet.
It's kind of weird. But here's the heat pump. Yeah, your daily total will be £6,000 to £7,000. My electric dealings in March, so my tariff will increase. It's going to get even more. But these heat pumps have been not performing particularly well for a lot of people. A lot of people talk about how, oh, my solar panels make it work, or, you know, I've got my ultra-insulated airtight home, which means it works.
I see someone else in the chat making the point, you also have to boil off the water every couple of days because bacteria can breed prolifically in these immersion tanks that sit at 30, 40 degrees. Yeah, it's just an incubation chamber.
It's a giant, like, Legionnaire's disease incubation chamber, yeah. And also, in very cold weather, these heat pumps have to go through multiple defrost cycles, which is why they are considered, in most actual cold climates, completely useless. They are not useful in cold weather. And there are a lot of people who will read about that. But in the real world, where these things have to perform, they don't perform particularly well at the moment. And there's a lot of excuses made for that. Oh, your house isn't properly insulated. It's not properly airtight. But as we'll get into, that causes even more problems.
Oh yeah, that bottom line there. Steve predicts that his electricity bill for this month alone could reach £1,000 and his annual bill would be roughly double the price of his previous setup. How much lecky was he using before that?
It's quite a large house.
I see.
I believe it's like a 4 or 5 bed house, but still, £7,000 heating bill. There's another one here from the Daily Mail.
One of the families is having to use 2 log-burning stoves alongside their pump during the cold days.
It's, like I said, it's very much become, especially for retrofits, it's become a nightmare for people. There's not that many people who have these heat pumps at the moment, and a lot of them are like weird eco nuts who will tell you they work even when they don't. There's a lot of, you know, sunk cost and a lot of people who are trying to back their purchase with this.
Are these the same people that do, like, really fixed, like, systems mathematics to make it look like wind turbines can ever actually produce more energy than they cost to make themselves?
Yeah, it's the same people who will tell you that solar panels have greater output in their lifetime than energy input taken to create, transport, and install them. Because people who are, quote-unquote, like, eco-green engineers are taught wrong. And don't factor in things like transport into the actual energy inputs.
We taught them wrong as a joke.
Yeah, we taught them wrong as a joke. It's very much what like these eco-engineers are. It is baffling when you see it. Heat pumps drop efficiency by 5% per degree outside their range. Yeah, a lot of them have like an operational range, as James Murray put out there, that if you move outside of, they become, one, useless, and two, expensive.
Yeah, someone else is talking about recapture systems. Don't worry, we will get there. we know these things. We're building up there.
Yeah, don't worry. We know about the ventilation heat recovery unit stuff. We'll actually get into that. It's kind of the cascading problem.
Yes.
The first step is, if you can't have a gas boiler, you have a heat pump.
So we've got problem number one, inefficient production of energy.
Yes. Inefficient production of energy. Here's another one from Daily Mail, and I was the Daily Mail. Heat pumps are one of the biggest cons I've seen, and Boris's £5,000 grants to install them is doomed to fail, writes construction expert Roger Bisbee. he's basically just talking about the fact that in terms of retrofits, customers' energy bills were similar to those from gas boilers they had before, but now they're paying an extra £450 a year for service and maintenance. That is a big theme we'll get into here, in that heat pumps in their current form are much more expensive to maintain and have a lot more problems with them than gas boilers.
If something goes wrong, as it frequently does.
They are giant compressors, and anyone who runs a compressor knows that, that they can be temperamental if they are used very heavily.
Yeah, another contact of mine in the trade told me of a customer north of the border who had a ground source heat pump installed thanks to a Scottish Government grant. He said it never worked. Contractors had dug up his garden 3 times to refit various components. Eventually, he gave up altogether, dismantled it, installed solar panels, and now relies on his old boiler during the winter. It's like a David Dees graphic.
Oh god, this is like a David Dees graphic of how heat pumps work. These are ground source heat pumps. They're supposed to be more efficient. But most people don't have the room for them.
I was going to say, who's got enough space in their garden to be doing 45 to 300 foot deep boreholes or 6 foot to 3 foot deep? What if you don't have a garden?
Well, that's the majority of houses these days do not have enough room for a ground source heat pump in them.
Well, the other issue we'll get into is, what if you happen to, I don't know, live in a flat?
That's another thing, in that we're mostly talking about kind of low-rise buildings, small flat buildings, domiciles, houses. But this problem starts getting worse as you start trying to heat larger buildings. There are some efficiency savings there, but HVAC stuff is a bit easier with larger buildings because you've got economies of scale with it. But air source heat pumps for large tower blocks, and that's when you start getting into the district heating stuff and getting into these weird systems where you have interlocking like heat pipes under pavements, and it all gets extremely extremely communist heating very, very quickly. And that can go wrong very quickly as well. But this is really just about the inefficiency of the heat pump. It's compressor, evaporator, condenser. It's a backwards fridge, what a heat pump is. But the annual household heating, private vehicle cost stuff, it's just going through basically step by step why this doesn't work. Unless you want the shiver, you are likely to need another source of heat, such as a wood-burning stove. Not very environmentally friendly. And like I said, in most built-up areas, wood-burning stoves are now illegal because of the Clean Air Act. They're enforcing that again. You can't actually, never mind burning it in the first place, you can't actually get a wood burner installed in your property.
As I know from some people I've talked to locally here as well, good dense wood fuel is at least over twice what it was last year, about 3 times.
Yeah, the price of wood has basically tripled as people have turned to traditional heating methods as the expense has risen. But we're not going to talk about the energy grid problem in this, because we'd be here for hours if we did.
That's a whole other issue.
We're going to talk about the whole net zero isn't meant to work thing. What we're mostly covering here is the added cost of complexity that all of this will add to things like new builds. And the next step in this, really, in the
is standardization.
Yeah, the next step I want to talk about this is the fact that most new houses now, to prepare and accommodate these heat pumps, have to be these airtight homes. And there is like massive cope going on from the green building people.
Yeah, I mean, this first paragraph here, even I know this is a lie.
Yeah.
There have been a few articles in the media recently about modern airtight houses causing bad indoor air quality. We find this misleading. The message is that the problem lies with building airtight homes, leading readers to assume that a drafty home is more preferable and has better indoor air quality. We'd say that bad indoor air quality is caused by inadequate ventilation, not the airtightness of a building.
It's problem. Can't have a gas boiler. Solution. Heat pump. Heat pump isn't efficient, doesn't work. Solution, make your home airtight so the air can't move in and out of it. That's the only way heat pumps work. Problem, you have horrendous indoor air quality in your home.
So you must create some new source of ventilation.
Yeah. Here's what we get to here with the drafty homes that have poor air quality. Basically, it's just big Big cope. A strategy is opening. It's so funny. Make your house airtight, then open your windows because your air quality is going to be terrible. It's like some weird building Kafka trap.
I mean, we all have wooden doors in our homes. Why aren't they sealed?
Quiet, you. let's not talk about the wooden doors. But yeah, Fremen water seals. Basically, yes. But it's just really, really funny that you spend all this money making your home airtight, and then these green housing pricks just be like, whoa, just open your window if your air's stale. It's like, yeah, I'll let all the heat from my inefficient 40-degree Legionnaire's heat pump out.
A drafty house does not have any control over the direction the air moves in. Yes, it does. Heat rises.
Yeah.
The air convects itself. Scroll back up. I just want to see the bit here. Rather than moving air from dry to wet areas of the house, as is ideal, drafts can just as easily move air from moisture-creating areas of the house, kitchen and bathroom, to cooler, drier. Yeah, it dissipates the moisture so it doesn't collect. Well,
the whole point, I wouldn't patronize you with a diagram for this, but I was going to, but the whole point of a Victorian-style house is you have a fireplace.
Mm.
The fireplace draws air through the building. And dries it out.
Yeah.
And the moist air goes out of your chimney and fresh air comes in through your vents. And your whole house is built like all traditional houses have been built that moves air through it.
They go on to say here, cooler dry areas, bedrooms creating condensation problems on cold surfaces. Not entirely true in all cases. This is a typical pattern as air tends to move up through a drafty house due to the stack effect, and bedrooms are usually upstairs with kitchens down below. Yes, the houses are designed to move heat from the bottom to the top.
And then vents, like, it's the whole thing of, like, this is why we have fireplaces.
Yeah.
This is why our houses used to have fires. And your house will have been less damp in the Victorian era than it is
now.
Oh,
no, the Victorians were just lighting fires in their houses because they liked it. It wasn't that it had all these good properties to it or was part of, you know, the way that you made and managed air quality. No, they just liked having a fire there.
It seems ridiculous on the surface of it that you would have an airtight home.
Mm.
It sounds like this is all just like waffle to get around it. New houses and airtightness regulation. Here's where we get into it. Building regulation now sets out a minimum airtightness standard for new houses. Shows the standard there. Passive house certified houses need to be below basically 0.6, which is tiny. So all new homes have to be airtight to some extent to meet building regulation. New houses, new ventilation regulation. New homes are no longer built with natural ventilation, as the only ventilation strategy is no longer compliant with building regulations. Trickle vents with intermittent extracts. Or continuous, have three options available. But basically what they start to go into is the fact that you have to have these MVHR systems. They're glossing over the fact that there's another article we'll get to later which talks about the fact that there is actually no requirement for ventilation in these airtight homes. So someone like your Barrett homes will create an airtight home and there's just no ventilation requirements for it. So they will just suffocate you.
Yeah, no, it's this... as one example, peak CO2 levels in bedrooms were over 1,500 parts per million, too high in about 90% of non-MVHR houses compared to under 20%. So houses that are built to this minimum standard, 90% of them without this, you know, mechanical ventilation with heat recovery system, are just going to poison you with not CO2 and probably carbon monoxide as well, I presume.
Yeah, good air quality is dependent on good ventilation. So what they've done is, problem, can't have a gas boiler. Solution, heat pump. Problem, house leaks, you know, is ventilated. And a ventilated house can't be heated by a heat pump.
You're telling me you don't trust Anna Marie Brin, MVHR design engineer and certified passive house designer from the Green Building Store?
It's such cope. It's like, well, you can't have a boiler and you can't have ventilation in your home. So you have to have a heat pump, an airtight home, and now you have to have a mechanical ventilation and heat recovery system. We're getting into like the £60,000-£70,000 bill range here, including parts and installation. And never mind that really a lot of the heat pump stuff is only calculated as being cost efficient with solar panels. But there's a lot of people who talk about Danish homes and Dutch homes being a lot more airtight than British homes, and therefore more suited to heat pumps. Well, Denmark especially. Someone linked me this who's actually Danish, and they said, "Yeah, Denmark has a massive like indoor mold problem now because of EU building regulation stuff. Household dampness and microbial exposure relates to allergy and respiratory health in Danish adults. Indoor dampness has commonly been associated with respiratory symptoms." They basically just go into the issue here that there
Yeah,
is.
household moisture damage is positively associated with asthma outcomes, although this was statistically significant and only 8 topics were self-reported. Asthma, mold odor was positively associated with wheezing. Have they got like a raw numbers? You know, like here is how many people in Denmark are actually just dying because of poorly built houses and the mold
Well, they talk
associated
about
with
like
them.
self-reported dampness reduced, but then it started going up again.
Yeah, the prevalence of household dampness in European dwellings has been estimated to be around 15%. Reports for Danish residents have estimated the prevalence of self-reported dampness problems to be 11% in 95, 8% in 97, 9% in 99, 11% in 2000, and then we can assume to be at least this 15% figure now.
It's only really got worse, and the issue is, as these new airtight home requirements come in, and as people skimp on this ventilation, you end up with these horrendously damp homes. New builds in Britain, as we'll get to, are famously damp. But again, we have problem, no boilers, because climate change. Solution, heat pumps. Sorry, I closed those. Problem, heat pumps require airtight homes. Solution, ventilation. But ventilation is not adequate in these new builds. There's just hilarious, like weird PSAs. There's one here from BBC Today. Let your new build home breathe. New build homes are built to be more airtight to help make them more energy efficient. The downside of this airtightness is that unless they are properly, the property is effectively ventilated, it could cause poor air quality and a buildup of condensation in a new home. Avoid poor air quality in your new build home. Basically, it tells you to open the windows, which is just really funny.
Yeah, you should try to open windows where possible, especially if you're drying clothes indoors, as this will help to circulate air through the property. However, if windows are not provided within the property,
Which is quite common.
a mechanical ventilation system should have been installed by the developer. Should.
Well, again, we get into the problem and the crux of this, which is you now have these new build homes which require complex, maintenance-heavy heat pumps, which require finely balanced air tightness, large amounts of insulation, which causes dampness, which now require mechanical ventilation systems, which again require expense and maintenance. All this has to be designed correctly, fitted correctly, and then maintained correctly in order for your building to work, as opposed to light, fire, have vent, which is how people have been building homes since antiquity,
Yeah.
really.
See, I. Because I was thinking logically when reading the previous one, I thought, isn't that strange that they're complaining that, well, naturally a home will distribute the damp around it?
Yeah.
Now, in a traditional home, that's not a problem because it has the apt amount of ventilation.
Yeah.
However, it's a lose-lose in a non-vented home because it when that damp does distribute, it condenses faster.
Well, the other part of this equation as well is that you need them to be airtight and heavily insulated. Excuse me. And the way that insulation is being encouraged now is with these cladding systems. There's some good examples here of people. I think this is in Germany, of basically people being like, don't reverse into the wall because look at it. They are incredibly fragile, is the issue.
Yeah, and I said to you before we started the stream, you know, we used to laugh only a small number of years ago at like images of construction projects in China filled with
Yeah.
like polystyrene and crap, and we're there already, only in a small number of years.
Well, the issue, this is very prevalent in the EU, and it's a huge problem if you've been to Germany, if you've been to France, if you've been to any of these places that build these polystyrene clad eco boxes, and that this stuff, it just falls apart. It is incredibly fragile, and as we'll get onto in a little bit, it's also incredibly dangerous. But this is what people are being encouraged to do to their properties: cover up their vents, clad them with this polystyrene stuff, and create this airtight
Damp
eco
trap.
damp trap eco box that just doesn't breathe, and you are terribly scared to open your windows because your heat pump cannot adequately heat your house. It's like I said, it's some kind of like building Kafka trap, and these are all being marketed with these ideal scenarios. A lot of the early adopters are, for want of a better word, eco-toffs.
Ah, no, the Walrus says hello. The Danes know we're talking about them.
Ah,
The
yes.
Longhouse boys have arrived.
Oh no. But there is a huge problem already in Europe with these horrible, damp, stale houses, these eco boxes with this polystyrene on them. This is a travelodge, I think, here in the UK that somebody pointed out, where the concrete mouldings have this polystyrene inside of them, and they end up with water ingress because you end up with different temperature interfaces with this polystyrene. It's actually really bad it's supposed to keep moisture out and keep things insulated, but it really just acts as a water conduit. It acts as a giant sponge in many cases and transports water from outer walls to inner walls. The big problem that people have had with cavity wall insulation here in the UK.
So by keeping the cool, crisp, dry air out, it keeps even more of the damp in.
Yes, it does, and it also
Superb.
acts as like I said, a direct moisture conduit.
I'm not even gonna
I'm not. I'm not.
repeat the smut that has been written in chat.
But this is what has to be done to milk to. To meet these new building requirements. This is how buildings have to be built. And all of that is adding up to, again, they're ugly, they don't function. But the big thing that we all know in the building industry is that they are giant candles. They are incredibly flammable. And expanded polystyrene, here's a study from Australia. From 2020, expanded polystyrene is just as deadly as ACP cladding in a fire. ACP cladding is the metal interface cladding that was on Grenfell Tower that was blamed for all of those crispy immigrants who had actually stacked up massive amounts of rubbish in the hallways, and the fire had taken hold of the building long before the cladding set on fire. But that's
I think you find the people who built Grenfell were actually racists, and they built a deliberately flammable building because they knew brown people were going to live in it.
It's the perfect storm. It's the eco cladding, which is just a horrendous fire hazard. A really annoyed Lucy donated $5 and said, "What caused that aquarium to explode in the German hotel? Was it because of these building techniques?"
Tom Cruise was there. They were filming a Mission Impossible,
Yeah,
were they
yeah,
not?
yeah. That was mostly just like over exuberant, weird Bond villain style engineering.
That was a Tiger Tank moment.
Yeah. That was just pure old, good old fashioned incompetence and probably bad service practices. But yeah, all of this cladding, all of this ugly, fragile cladding everywhere.
See, it would have been designed by Germans, but
Yeah.
fit by Bulgarians.
That's the whole point. It's designed for precision engineering, but as we all know, these homes aren't built by precision engineers. And that's the whole problem. You have these finely balanced systems. Again, which we'll get to when we get onto the current quality of housing stock, but this is kind of still the lead in. So your building has to have a heat pump. It can't have a gas boiler. It has to be airtight for that heat pump to work, but most places aren't adequately ventilated.
Sorry,
To
the line here. Just 7 minutes into the full-scale test, molten flaming EPS was emanating from the test rig, and flames were 5 meters above the combustion chamber. So not only is it inert, it's actually combustible. It's an
Well,
accelerant.
of course, polystyrene is incredibly combustible. You ever burnt polystyrene?
Well, I know for a fact if you I'm not going to say what you can do with polystyrene and
Yeah.
petrol because that would get us in trouble. I'm also not going to say the fact that we have a mutual friend who works in certain industries to do with the production of fiberglass insulation and polystyrene insulation, who happens to know the fact that the stuff does never meet the standard of flammability that it's supposed to. It's basically all a big wink, wink, nudge, nudge agreement between multinational chemical companies that make the stuff and the governments who buy it.
So these new Eco Barrett homes, the new Dino Paradise homes, will be incredibly flammable, They will be completely unventilated.
No, they're geniuses.
Yeah.
Because the dampness that gets trapped in your home stops it going up in fire. And then it's too cold for it to get combustible anyway.
Oh, dear me.
Ah, they've cracked it.
But yeah, it turns out that this terrible cladding is incredibly flammable. There's something here from the passive house people have mentioned before, which completely contradicts...
Oh god, that's a Crime Watch picture. Yeah, it is.
The green building people. Because the passive house people are trying to sell you all of these active ventilation solutions. They're talking about new build homes facing emerging ventilation crisis. Despite increasing standards of insulation and air tightness, housing developers face new requirements to provide better ventilation indoor air quality. Face few requirements to provide better ventilation indoor air quality for home buyers. Well, what do you think is going to happen with these homes if they're not actually forced to ventilate them? It's a lose-lose anyway, because we'll get into how bad it is when they are forced to ventilate them.
At least we're not in a situation whereby people seem to have a series of both naturally onsetting and medically induced chronic problems due to, or that affect respiratory systems or anything. You know, I'm sure COVID-19 as a disease dissipates itself well amongst these new builds.
It's basically what they're just talking about is the fact that all of these new builds are terribly ventilated to a dangerous degree. And the solution to this that they are trying to propose is the active ventilation systems. But the issue here is that they are all very complex systems. Here's an example of what the eco home is supposed to look like in terms of its interlocking systems. You have a ground air heat exchanger which interlinks with the heat recovery unit, with the exhaust here, air intake. Basically, your entire loft space is taken up by venting. And you have to have, in many cases, two heat pumps and a heat exchanger to make this function. We have here a slightly blurry, I couldn't find a bigger version of this, but this is all the distribution you have to have around your home, which, as somebody who works in building services, this requires wall and ceiling voids, which further robs internal space from these tiny little new builds.
Wall and ceiling voids that are also full of various layers of insulation.
Yeah. You've got your polystyrene robbing. And all the insulation required there. Then you have to have a layer of ventilation, and you have to have a roof space that contains a heat exchanger and massive amounts of ducting. And what's happening is a lot of these shoddily built homes are having huge technical burdens put onto them now. We will get into the absolute state of the new builds as they exist right now. But the issue is that the new builds of the future will have to have heat pumps and heat exchangers with large active ventilation systems. And what I've said before is, like, do you think these people are going to know when this system is not working correctly? Like, these people have to maintain, are responsible for maintaining this system. These interlocking heat pumps and heat exchangers and basically all of the building services you would expect in like a high-rise building. The maintenance burden of this is going to be enormous, and these developers aren't going to pay for it. It's going to be shunted on the dinos of the world.
Do they not look like between the two of them they would make a proficient set of thermodynamicists?
Well, the big issue as well is design. These systems, I keep losing it, especially systems like this, require the exact right amount of air movement. If you have too much air movement, you're being inefficient, you might make the home cold, you'll wipe out your heat pump. The heat exchanger has to work correctly, that the air has to be properly heated before it comes to the home, or else, again, it will counteract the effects of the heat pump and make your house even colder. The extract air has to be brought out, and crucially, the air has to be dried because of, you know, people exhaling and the fact that your home is now airtight. So if all these steps don't work in your Barrett home that's been built by a Bulgarian, then you will have a terrible, damp, cold house that does not function. And I will stress to people, once again, all of these problems knock on from each other. And they knock on from the fact you can't just have a fire in your house. You can't just have gas central heating. You can't have an efficient way of heating your home. You can't just have ventilation that is passive. It has to be active now. And they are building hundreds, possibly, in the grand scheme of things, thousands of pounds onto the price of certain houses. I could, solar panels, heat pumps, active ventilation, and insulation done competently is probably about £100,000 on the price of a new build house when you add in the markup to it.
I mean, I'm sure we could probably look it up just now. You know, what is the rough estimated figures of total number of houses that the government plans to build in Britain, you know, every year? And say, for example, it's, you know, 15,000-17,000 houses.
Yeah.
You're very quickly talking about billions just to fit these systems.
Leo Barialis makes a very good point in that a lot of people would think that domestic systems are less complex. Actually, due to the space constraints, they're more complex.
Oh, also as well, you've got to find a solution. It doesn't just work for one place. It's got to work at lots of different places.
Yeah.
And lots of different settings with different, you know, wind conditions, dampness, whatever is under the surface. But the thing for me, I just find it astonishing is how much is this all going to cost?
Well,
it's going to be an unbelievable fiddle. I mean, I know we had all the stuff about, you know, such and such a person that donates to the Tory party was given a £50 million contract to sell masks.
Yeah.
Wait till EDF are given a couple of billion pounds to refit a couple of council council's worth of houses in Britain.
As I mentioned, this has to be done competently. There are not armies of people who know how to do HVAC, who know how to do proper ducting, who know how to heat and dry air out of a domestic house. As I mentioned earlier, it's actually more difficult. I work in building services. I've done this kind of work before on larger buildings, and on a domestic level, I've actually worked on some new build projects that have some of this involved in it. It's a nightmare. They never function, and they are always installed by unqualified people because a qualified technician who knows how to install like a proper heat and moisture exchanger HVAC system is somebody who's being paid at least £40,000 a year.
And then to sort of wrap it, or not wrap it all up, but to distribute through it something that is an issue we've talked about constantly now.
Yeah.
We are in this environment of easy credit. We have these almost, you know, infinite time horizons to finish projects in, or at least that's the message that's sent to us by zero and negative interest rates in a real sense. So, of course, you're now going to have, as we've covered before, these 50-year fixed-rate mortgages so that the only thing you'll pass on to your children are debt. And that when you really start to consider how these houses are built and the poor standard that they're built to, they are not built to last 100 years, you know, five generations or anything like that.
No.
They're built to last out the service of the mortgage.
Generally, I've been told this by developers, and I've been told this by people who even work on high-rise buildings, in that the expected life cycle of most of these buildings is 25 years, the normal maximum length of a mortgage. Most of these new build houses, these tower blocks, are only built to last 25 years.
Mm.
And a lot of the systems within them will need constant maintenance. And the big thing, I think, is going to be the issue with all of these eco builds, with your heat pumps and your active heat exchanger ventilations and all your fragile cladding and insulation and all of these different interlocking systems, is the maintenance. That it's not going to be 25 years before these houses don't function. It's going to be 5 years.
Oh, no, of course, because this is all under the premise of the fact that they can pull this stuff off. And we know for a fact that they won't. And one of the examples we want to talk about in a stream at some point soon is when the post office was modernised and Royal Mail was modernised and then further privatised, and then it proceeded to end up in some form of near 25-year-long court trial that hasn't actually finished yet, that put hundreds of people to blame for the fact that their system just didn't work from day one. You know, that's what you get when you have governments trying to plan these massive big systems, or anyone trying to plan these massive big systems at the end of the day. The public-private distinctions, you know, makes no difference at this point.
Well, one of the things I believe is that single occupancy, single owner houses are going to become financially unviable by design,
mm.
and we will all be put in the pod filing cabinets.
Yeah,
it's ultimately what this is about. It's to do with it being unworkable on purpose. You'll have rich people who live in a normal 3-bed semi-detached house that will cost £1 million,
and everyone else will live in a mid-rise 2-bedroom flat that costs £500,000.
Yeah, or at least on paper, yes. But this is what's causing all of this, and we have all of this bloated regulation already, and on top of that, we've got possibly £100,000 in new costs in terms of heating, ventilating, and insulating these new build houses. And I'm sure a few of you will be aware of this account. It's where I nicked one of the images from. But new build hate is very good for showing some of the the absolute state of current new builds. There's so much good stuff here. A lot of it is to do with drainage. Most of these places are being built on floodplains.
What's really funny is some of the ones you showed me that were like the ones where they had actually put in ventilation and then the vents were in the direct path of draining water.
Oh,
were
yeah.
Actually below ground level.
There's a great one. Where is it? Down.
God, some of the cladding on these is abysmal.
Yeah, the cladding's terrible. Look at that, like a prison.
No, that's an East London school.
That's a great one.
Oh no, that's like when they cut the bit of the door to fit the toilet past it because the apprentice has put the toilet in, then put the door in.
Exactly. But this is the standard of houses without all of this in them.
Yeah.
This is the absolute state of that one as well, with the bricked up windows where they've done it wrong. But these aren't exceptions. I've seen like some of this stuff personally. We'll get into some of the
look
extras.
Look at that garden.
Yeah.
That's superb.
That's superb garden there. There we go.
Spot the problem, people.
The gutter, the water drain is going straight into an air brick. This is the standard that new builds are built to. Now imagine that all of these have to have heat pumps, they have to have polystyrene cladding installed correctly, and they have to have active heated and moisture-controlled ventilation systems built by Bulgaria. It's going to be an absolute disaster. It's going to be awful. Never mind the fact that a lot of the stuff that the new build hate talks about, which is true, is
I do like some of the ones that are just the sea of brown fences.
Yes, those are pretty good too.
That corner one. That we had a good laugh though at that the other day as well.
I don't know what's going on there.
That's almost Chinese workshop sort of spec, that.
Yeah, there's somebody here actually in the comments which pointed out as well, very aptly, is the fact that a lot of your new build stuff is like buying a car now.
Is this person's hobby? This is great. So they just go to like Barrett Homes estates around Britain and just like pretend they're like customers or something?
No, they just said they'd like to do that, but that's highlighting why this is like that, and having a lawn is seen as like an added extra to all of this.
Let's can we get a bit zoomed in here? Let's have a little titter at some of the options they've got here.
Price on application externals, upgrade to 1 meter high, hit and miss fencing note. Basically, you will be given a shit pile unless you spend extra money for work that will not be done properly. And there's pages and pages and pages of this. Kitchen options, stuff like this. I imagine the fancy ventilation will be like a £20,000 option on many people's new build houses.
Have these ones already got, upgrade to such and such a fancy German heat pump and it's like an extra £15,000?
Yeah, they'll be like your basic community heating.
Well, because if you're a Dino,
yeah,
you can't just have the Schnitzer B heat pump. You've got to have the Schnitzer B GTI. You know, you've got to have the flash one.
Well, there's also being pointed out here as well, which is something that happens with a lot of the new build estates, in that they are so they are so cramped for space that they don't have footpaths.
Yeah.
There's a lot of gay shit about car-centric estates, they're all crushed together. But we've talked about the 50-minute city stuff before, and essentially what is the future ban on vehicles, even electric vehicles. Most people won't be allowed them because the energy they consume.
I do like the idea of pavements like anti-fat people streets.
No, they're anti-exercise streets. But the issue is that the the land constraints of housing conflict very heavily with the 15-minute city stuff we talked about during our last stream. If you don't know what that is, I don't have time to explain it here right now. Go watch our other stream if you want to hear about the 15-minute cities. But the Barrett home, you know, weird island only linked by cars estate is actually in direct conflict with what is being pushed as the future. And as the eco-regulation gets worse, these new build estates will become even more unfriendly and terrible places.
I would imagine as well, you know, you put yourself in a situation of someone who, and I think we might cover some of it here, but there is a whole other conversation about just the dodgy shit that Barrett Homes is up to.
Yes.
You know, just from a finance perspective, though, you've got a plot of land, it's half a square mile, and you start your project in 2016. It's going to take 4 years to finish.
Yeah.
And you know that you're going to profit by building 30 houses in that space. And then all of a sudden it gets to halfway through the project and the house price is doing gangbusters.
Yeah.
And everything that you need to buy, all the bricks, all the plumbing, all the stuff for the groundwork is costing 2-3 times what you costed it 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So now you need to fit 35-40 homes in. So of course they think like the pavements are going to be pissed thin and the drives are going to be tiny and the gardens are going to be as small as you can get.
It's like the refit situation going on with like the Grenfell Tower stuff. In the where are all these skilled ventilation and heat pump engineers going to come from?
They're going to come from the same place the nuclear engineers are going to come from. The dinghies.
The dinghy engineers. Here's an insulated floor above a garage from a house built in 2021. Look at that cavity. It looks like somebody chewed it. But this is the standard. The problem is, if your house isn't properly insulated, if it's not properly ventilated, if it's not built exactly to these extreme precision engineering eco-spec targets, it will be awful. Whereas a normal 19th century or early, you know, pre-World War I house in Britain with a gas boiler in it and proper ventilation, you know, it might be a little bit cold sometimes, a bit drafty, but you can heat your house. It will ventilate itself a lot of the time.
Well, that's the I think the thing as well is we'll get into some of the district heating stuff is when you have a gas boiler in your house and a gas line plumbed to it, you turn the heating on whenever you want.
Yeah.
You turn it on for as long as you want, get it as warm as you want. But at some point, due to the necessities of efficiency, supposedly, you don't get to choose anymore. Your house will be heated to the minimum infrastructure guarantee standard of household heating, comrade.
Well, the larger issue with all of this is that you're going to end up with, as happened back in November, immigrants being put in this weird semi-refitted housing, not understanding how the systems work, not understanding that having a damp house is not a good thing, and you'll have like these massive lawsuits, like this Awab Ishak. The interface of like mass immigration and low quality eco housing stock is going to be terrible, and you'll have all of these people suing the government for, you know, potentially millions of pounds because they don't know how to open a window in their own home and they don't know how to clear up mold. It's all going to be so tiresome, but the problem is it's going to be those who are most sue happy who succeed the most. It's very much like weird, like building a narco tyranny. In that, if you just put up with it, you will end up, you know, you will live in the moldy pod,
and you better like it.
Yeah. Whereas you'll see news stories about how terrible it is that we're letting immigrants live in the moldy pods for free because they need a better standard of housing. And again, it all just becomes this big technical snowball in which we're giving the Somali Ishak family a house with £100,000 worth of HVAC equipment in it.
We're just so going to have government to ban sue Amy them. From the chat. She's been too ribald. We won't stand for this. We're just to have a nice discussion of the terrible quality of new build houses.
Dear. It's one thing I want to talk about slightly as well, although I would like to go over a few more of the new build hate stuff, is the the social aspect of some of this.
Mm.
In that as people are funneled into these weird multiple occupancy eco boxes by the pricing out of single owner homes.
He breathes the spores.
We're getting into a situation that is history repeating itself with what is called the Cities in the Sky concept.
Which I know all too about this.
Which is the scheme housing of the 1960s and 70s.
Well, I think you can even go further back than that. Yes. You had specifically the example I know all too well of is Glasgow, where you had all the big tower blocks that were all built between the 40s right through to the 90s. They took everyone out of what was supposed to be, you know, this Dickensian idea of the slums of the tenement buildings. So these massive, lovely stone buildings with big bay windows and the hardwood floors and, you know, still standing there today, the ones that are left. And you go in there, they've got 12-foot, 13-foot ceilings, plumbed in. You know, obviously some of these are from before an era of indoor plumbing in regards to toilets, but that's how all housing was at that time.
Yeah.
And they all get stripped down by the thousands. I mean, what was the one we were watching the other week? The film about Jimmy Boyle, STV thing from 1974 or something, and they are in these bits of older Glasgow where it hadn't changed since World War One, near enough. And in the space of 5-10 years, everything there got pulled down, and you threw people all up into these tower blocks where the notion of the close that you were in before, that was maybe 7 or 8 flats, get then replaced with, you know, 30, I think it's near 30 floors, some of them, with 8 or 9 flats, not connected. It's all horrible, vinyl, terrible, lino. Is that the Gallagate ones? Oh, aye.
I believe so,
that's a grim set there. I'm pretty sure my mum's gone into those and looked after patients in them before they filled them full of migrants. And now they're basically no-go zones.
Yeah. This is what a lot of your new eco tower blocks will turn into. As individual housing becomes less and less affordable due to all these heat pump ventilation and insulation requirements.
Get that one up there next. And then, because you've got this great example here, which was all the Red Road flats.
Yes.
As they were called. Now, I think there's something like 11 or 12 of these. It almost starts to look a bit bloody Chinese ghost village. Yeah. Now, these were all occupied. And the Scottish government has already torn all of these down. They were thrown up in the 60s, torn down 2010s.
They were only a
50-year solution. And now they've had to take all the people, thousands, and disperse them through in all these new-built homes on the outskirts of Glasgow.
That is, we are reaching kind of another Cities in the Sky point. And one of the things about the whole Cities in the Sky concept was concrete as a wonder material.
Mm.
We're seeing a lot of the same logic being done with the eco-housing, with the polystyrene cladding, with the heat pump active ventilation. It's all sold as these wonder solutions that will essentially violate the laws of thermodynamics and create a situation where we all have cheap, efficient heating, airtight but also ventilated homes, warm without energy input. And it's all this utopian thinking brought on by these supposed wonder materials. And that is one of the biggest similarities, I think, between these, you know, the 50s to the 70s building boom, which was a complete failure. Anyone can tell you now it was a complete failure.
Well, there's the great Adam Curtis documentary on the system built, not scheme built mind, which you were thinking of earlier, I believe.
Yeah, system built stuff.
Which was this whole idea that we were going to throw up prefabs and they were all going to be made of reconstructed concrete sheets, and they had all these brilliant...
Well, that's what these are, really.
I know, but they had all these brilliant engineers that had planned this stuff all out, and they were going to last for ages, and they were going to be big, strong buildings, and it turns out they were all falling apart and had horrible gas works in them. As you do.
Yes, but as the Dino estate gets demonized as car-centric and outmoded, and as, like I said, the average house becomes this impossibly complex interlocking system of building services identical to what you have to have in a skyscraper, just miniaturized, makes it harder. We are going to end up with this new push towards this new eco-social high-rise housing. It's the only way I think that this push goes, and we may see the back of the you know, the style of new build that we put in the thumbnail here, the one where I put all the brewing heat pumps and all that there. We may see the back of that, but we will see once again the rise of the communist tower block.
I think it'll be more in the mid-rises, the ones we were talking about Clossington with, sort of three, four stories, and the bottom will have your KFC, your Ladbrokes, your Tesco Metro, and maybe a hair salon. Yeah, collapse.
It's all very collapse watch.
As... I know, we could just get the videos of them being pulled down.
It's literal collapse watch, as well as figurative collapse watch. But the why I went to bring in the whole cities in the sky thing was because we are reaching another zenith of utopian building thinking.
Mm.
Both in terms of the death of the single, you know, the single owner house, and the single owner house as it will exist being transformed into this weird ultra complex eco Rube Goldberg machine in which you will have to constantly pay for thousands of pounds worth of maintenance every year. It's going to get bad, I think, but. I know there's a
structures for democratic cities.
I just wanted to get the title of this one. I'm not going to actually read the study, but there was a huge amount of social engineering that went into the city in the sky concept. That meant that it was a social project as much as it was a building project, and that's I think that the eco housing push is a social project as much as it is a building project. It is a utopian vision of an ultra efficient, this myth that people have of like Scandinavian Britain, that Britain is somehow stuck in this dark age of gas boilers and actually ventilated homes. And if we all just turn ourselves into these weird pseudo Swedish people, we'll have this utopian energy efficient society. Whereas all we'll end up is dampness because it rains here and we don't have the long, low moisture winters that they have in Scandinavia that allow them to have less air movement.
Yeah, Judge Dredd mega cities. Yeah, just put me in mega city tower 10 or whatever and we'll smoke weird space drugs and whatnot.
That's what requiring a system like this in an individual occupancy house leads to.
Yeah.
It will just simply make them unviable. Even for the ticked over Dino with the 50-year mortgage and, you know, his Turkish teeth and Peaky Blinders poster and horrible, weird vinyl
painting. He got the Gucci socks.
Oh, God.
The horrible double cuff jeans is also bad.
Like, they will make you beg for this. People will remember all of these horrible Dino spec new builds with rose-tinted glasses, when all you can buy are million-pound polystyrene eco-houses. Like that, as bad as things are, we will actually look on what we have now.
Yeah, I do almost see like Leo in chat, and it works here because of the climate and where we produce a lot of high-quality engineers. I'm not so sure if it works, but I also presume that housing in Sweden isn't cheap.
No, it's extremely expensive. And they are a low-density kind of high social, like basically it's the idea
those
of
weird glass girl with a dragon tattoo houses we're all seeing crime
we're films. All going to be naval architects who make 400,000 euros a year is
see we can't buy Saabs anymore, the myth has been ruined.
Well, the idea that we can scale this to like 70 million fucking ungubus as we're having fire hose into Britain is saying that you can't have a high population density society that exists in this like weird eco-utopia. You just end up with a mess.
Why don't we work out a way to recycle the dinghies they bring with them to insulate houses?
Like I said, though, those of you who know that these horrible broken down polystyrene clad buildings are everywhere in continental Europe.
Can you imagine you went around the back of this house as a small child, kick a ball about with your mate, and you'd be booted at having a game of Wally or something. You just started knocking bricks at the wall.
Yeah, imagine like a basketball as like a worst case. You have like a basketball net set up.
Oh, a basketball net on the ball of styrene.
You try and put a basket. Somebody dunks and pulls half the wall down. I mean, there's a and it'd be bad as it is just being that fragile, but the fact that it's so flammable, like, god damn, imagine if there are like a spate of arsons. Everything is just like a tinderbox with that stuff on it. As somebody who's quite aware of like fire safety and fire loading, it's nightmarish that these things exist. It is genuinely worrying that we have all these requirements. But it is all coming down the pipeline. Is there anything else you want to discuss in terms of the technical side of it, or shall we just look at some more terrible new builds?
We can maybe laugh for a few more minutes and then we'll call it an evening.
I've gone to the media section here. New build hate's got a count, and like I said, one of the things they talk about is the fact that...
Oh, look at the green rot. Yeah, that's brilliant.
A lot of new build policy and a lot of building policy is very, very bad because it doesn't understand water management. And a huge trend with current bad new builds is that they don't have overhang.
Wait, no. Hold on for a second. Are you telling me that legislators can't legislate away the laws of thermodynamics?
It's just...
See, it ain't so.
It's a great practical demonstration of how normal building techniques have essentially been lost.
Yasin in chat screaming, talk about the new town commission. No, how much did the mayor of Milton Keynes pay you for to come along and blast that at us?
Well, God, we'll talk about new towns at a little. That's, again, a much bigger subject talking about
it. I've already said the name of it once. We cannot mention the place that cannot be mentioned again. Refused their allotment.
Well, we should just do a stream about Milton Keynes at some point. As like a prototypical new town and how centrally planned construction doesn't work and leads to Milton Keynes. I mean, that's the worst indictment, I think, of the new towns, is the existence of Milton Keynes. But this is an example again of the fact that you have water ingress, which will freeze. This fascia will become damaged within the next few years and then have to be redone, simply because they couldn't put an overhang sill that meant rainwater wasn't constantly dripping down it. The discoloring is really just a symptom. The issue here is going to be freezing cycles. And again, it's indicative. It's what's causing the discoloration of the building in the thumbnail there. That's why it's all black down the front of that building, is inadequate water management. If they can't make rainwater flow around the building effectively, how are they going to do this? This is like fantasy land. A lot of people, well, it can, you know, with mechanical ventilation and heat pumps, we can all live in these amazing... No, these houses are built by illiterate Bulgarians. And they are built for about half the cost they should be, because the rest of it has been given in a bung to the council. The idea that these houses are going to exist with this level of building service attached to them is completely insane. As somebody who works in building services, the maintenance alone makes this unviable. But these, I don't know, these are the new houses for New Britain that you will never live in. Like I said, the eco house is the plaything of the eco toff, because it is so expensive, it is so technically complex, and it requires so much cost input for maintenance. It is completely unviable. And I think the unviability is the point. As we went into, if you want some more on this, go back into our Infinite Council State stream. But the single occupancy house is going to be done away with. That is my prediction here, that the single occupancy house is going to be, again, just a rich man's luxury that people will talk of in hushed tones. I remember when people used to live in their own houses. Remember when people used to own detached houses that were, you know, under £1 million? People will be amazed by, you know, your children and grandchildren will be amazed by the idea that they could buy even like a 2-bedroom freestanding, you know, private domicile for under £1 million. People talk about house prices going down next year, and they will fluctuate in the medium term. The arse may fall out of them at some point, but the long-term trajectory is towards this high-rise mega-city building.
It's basically Sam Lowry's flat from Brazil, isn't it?
Yes, yes it is. Because every house will be required to have all of these systems in them. I don't know, is there anything, any more new builds you want to laugh at?
Nah, I think we've got our fill.
I'll go through a couple more here. Again, this is all water damage. That's a large part of what makes late, like, you know, 90s housing look as bad as it does.
I'm trying to look at what council is. That was like Ayrshire.
Possibly. There's so much of this stuff. Again, we went through the balconies and the weirdness, but a large part of it is that these are just not being built competently. There is no standards in terms of how these
well, houses there are is up. The standards are unachievable.
Yeah.
So the results you get are this.
Yeah. Like I said, imagine this, but with £100,000 worth of extra equipment attached to the price of it, and that's the, you know, that's the future. Imagine a heat pump breaking down forever, kind of thing. You know, it's not a boot stamp on a human face. It's a heat pump and mechanical ventilation maintenance bill every year forever.
Nothing like a lung full of black mold.
Well, that's I think we've covered all we need to cover here. It's a bit more of a simple stream this week to ease us back into streaming. I don't want to get too long in the tooth. What have we got to shill then?
Well, I think we might as well mention the fact that on Monday coming,
yes,
we will be streaming with Horace from Telegram, who seems to be friends of many people we know now, and we thought we might as we'll bring him on for a blether. I'm not exactly sure what the subject of that stream might be. It might just be a general summing
blether,
up of
yes.
A lot of the stuff we've gone over anyway. There was another guest stream planned at some point, however, that has not quite come to fruition yet, so we'll work on that.
No. As always, again, if you guys want to support us, but you can become a member of the channel, all our links are down below. We have a Telegram you can join, there's still the Legacy Discord. We have a Substack that's not being updated currently, but will be at some point. I have, again, a lot of stuff in the works. Although, if you want to go over there, I would encourage you to read some of our back catalogue, because most of it is on evergreen topics. Like you said, next week we're having the stream with Horace, did you say?
On Monday.
On Monday, okay. So, more streams coming up in the near future. I think we've covered as much as we need to cover, but to quickly sum up, complexity not workable with low-skilled labour. that's the long and short of it, really. Leo Borealis mentioned so that it's perfectly doable in a fantasy land, but in a Britain where new builds are as they are, new builds with all of this technical equipment in them are going to be in an absolute nightmare.
I also just don't want an electric heating system.
Yeah.
I want a gas radiator, or sorry, a gas boiler and big radiators that get boiling hot as soon as you switch them on.
Yeah. Again, we will talk about on-demand heating if we are put in the eco pods as this wonder of the former world, as we sit in our lukewarm
Nomos Milton Keynes. Aye, maybe when we get ourselves an APC, Yaz.
We already did it in Birmingham. Enough people complained about that. So, anyway, thank you guys for coming.
Yeah. Nomos branded Kevlar vests.
Thank you guys for listening to us blather about new builds. And yeah, keep your eye on regulation, because the law of unintended consequences does come into action. And like I said, do watch our previous stream about demobilization, and do watch our previous stream called The Infinite Council State, if you
just
can seek that out.
Watching me do everything we've done, it's all great.
Yeah, it all meshes together, and once you start seeing it, you start to realize where it's all going. But those of you who've mentioned stems of different things, we will talk about, like, district heating and, like, the actual communist commune shit coming. And we will also talk about net zero being thermodynamically impossible, and the fact that the electricity grid cannot cope with any of this.
Extremely, I forgot these. No, I'm gonna do it. The
What?
wagon wheels guy.
Oh, you mean Peter Kay
The
Pool?
extremely Peter Kay voice. Do you remember New Builds?
Remember Central Heating, do you? You remember being warm? Oh, I remember being
Remember
warm.
being
I
dry?
used to love being warm. Anyway, we'll see you guys on Monday and have yourselves.
Good night.
I think we covered all that in.